Jumping a little bit ahead from where we've been on Wednesday nights, we're still back in chapter 6, I think it is. So I'll jump a little bit ahead, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the text. I'm going to kind of draw a theme from it, and we'll move forward from there. So John chapter number 9, and we'll read the first 7 verses. And it came to pass, I'm usually right when you say that in the scripture, but that's not what it said. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. And here's our text. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made a clay of spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Last year was the first year that we did a missions month, and I've tried to consistently have missionaries in throughout the year in the past. Just, I mean, pretty much from almost day one I came here, I had missionary friends, Luke and Jamie Knickerbocker, just happened to be in town. I think it's like one of the first Wednesdays or first couple of Wednesdays. They just happened to be in, and just friends would just stop by and stuff. So even just kind of fun, just organically, people were showing up and being a part of things. But I'd heard a couple of pastor friends talking about having a missions month, and I really liked that. A lot of people do missions conference, kind of have a week-long or a few-day-long revival or something like that, and focus on missions. But it's like, I kind of like a missions month. That just really keeps driving it home. If you miss a Sunday, you're going to get it the next Sunday, and just kind of keep it before our minds a little bit longer. I really thought last year's missions month was amazing. We use the theme, wherever he leads, I'll go, from that great old song by B.B. McKinney. I looked at the calendar from last year. We had the Blairs going to Norway. They're getting close. The Brown family, they're in Japan. They're there now. We get updates from them. We have Brother Peoples with the IBFI Missions Agency, just the background work that they do supporting the missionaries. The Yap family, they got their church started. There's an update up there from them over by Los Angeles. We had the McGuires in that have Camp Liberty. Me and Brother Jake and our wives just got to go down there and see that a few weeks ago. Very impressed with their work. And then the Omens, they're going to Croatia. So we had a pretty good lineup last week, and last year, and I'm very pleased to say, praise the Lord, we took all of those on for support. And as of today, unless I miscounted, and Gary's probably the one that could tell me otherwise, and he's not in here to correct me, we support 39 different missions works as a church. Those get, we factor it as $100 a month, but we pay it quarterly, so $300 each quarter. We support some wonderful local nonprofits, like Wise Choices I spoke about. I did leave that paper back there from them. Warm. There's just some amazing things in our community I'm glad we can be a part of. We just took on the Meals on Wheels, for instance. Glad to support them. We support the training of missionaries and ministers through BBTI, Baptist Bible Translator Institute, up in Bowie, or the Norris Bible Baptist Seminary. So we're supporting training the next generation of leaders. We support the translation of Scripture into new languages. The Matthew Patenaude family, Sarah Glover, some of these others that we support get into that work also. We support the establishment of new churches and the strengthening of existing churches here in America, right down the road, literally here in Rome. Brother Van Zant in his church, Highland Village, Lee Davis over there, Tony Roa over in Rockwall, just supporting them and their work. And then I mentioned the Yap family. They're in Los Angeles. So talk about the uttermost part of the world. I mean, Los Angeles, you know. We support missions works on, and if I figured this right, we've got 5 continents we cover with missions works. We just need to find somebody in Australia and Antarctica. So if you know of any missions in Antarctica, you know, just let me know. I've shared with you before my goal. My vision has been to support 100 missions works and have a budget of $100,000 a year. To the glory of God, we've actually hit that $100,000 before a couple of times, and we've been close. The last 3 years, we've either hit it or been very close to sending out from our church $100,000 to different missions works. You know, I've had good Christian people that go to good Christian churches in our area come in, and they'll see our missions board back there. And by the way, there's only 20 slots up there. That's not updates on there, but I try to put the newest updates up there, but that's not even the full gambit of what we do. But they'll come in, they'll see that, or we'll be talking about that. They're honestly, literally blown away when I tell them what God uses our church to do. I'll tell them about the missions program, and they'll say, "Well, you support how many? You gave out how many people do you run?" And I, you know, hey, good Sunday for us. I'm happy. We got 50. I think it's a good Sunday. We get more than that, I'm really happy. And you know, I think today's a good day. I hadn't counted. I think Dad's counting over there. I see his wheels turning. I mean, they usually don't believe me. I said, "That's how much are you sending out? How many people do you support?" You know, Paul wrote over in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that God loves a cheerful giver. And I can tell you that does not just apply to individuals. God loves a church that cheerfully gives for the spread of the gospel and for the glory of Christ's kingdom. By the way, what happens when we hit 100 missionaries and $100,000 budget? I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to be happy, but am I going to sit back? No, I'm thinking 200 sounds pretty nice once we get there. Let's just keep moving forward. I want to see Faith Baptist Church support more missionaries in more places with more money and more prayer so more people are impacted with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's not for me to build fame as a pastor. It's really a selfless goal. It really is. You know, we could take that money, we could build us a new building. There's a lot of things we could do to lift up our own name, our own image. Not about that. I could buy me a private jet like that fellow down the road down there. Brother Kennedy knows pretty well about that. I could go buy me a private jet. Now, we're not in it for that. My goal is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't do this so our church will become famous. Again, I think supporting missions is a very selfless act. We are just imitating our Father, who I like, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. We love the world, and we want to give. We want to do something. We want to be involved. Our goal is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. One day I will stand before God. I will have to give an account for my leadership here. I want to stand there knowing I've done everything I could to lead this congregation to love Christ and to love souls more than ourselves. One day, I, as individuals, will stand before God. We will give account of those blessings that he allows us to borrow. He gives us to steward over, if you will. Because, by the way, it's not ours. It's all his. Everything we have ultimately belongs to him. I hope that we all can stand there and say that we didn't waste the opportunities given to us. I hope we can all say we did our part to fulfill the Great Commission. And by the way, if there is something I think we as Americans are going to be held accountable for, it is that God has richly blessed our nation materially. We may not have a lot of time, but I'm going to tell you, we all, even say, well, we're tight. I guarantee you, we got more money than 90% of the world. You go look and see what some of these folks over in Africa and even Eastern Europe and what they get by on dollar-wise and stuff. We are rich. We are spoiled. We have so much excess. Listen, folks, I'm gonna be honest on this too. Some of us spend more money on dog food than some people spend on food in this world. And that's the truth. That's how rich and spoiled we are. Our text this morning from the Gospel of John is just one of the many examples of our Lord's compassion. He opened this blind man's eyes. And by the way, in my mind, and we'll get there when we get through our study, he makes mud, spits on the ground, makes some mud, puts on. I kind of wonder if this guy wasn't born with eyes. And maybe, because what are we made out of? We're made out of dirt. Maybe he had to make new eyes and put in there. That's my mind. I may be totally wrong, but that's what I would like to think that anyway. But he opened this blind, he opened his eyes not just to see the natural light of this world. It wasn't just so he could see colors and shapes and people and animals and the great sights. But he also opened his eyes to the fact that Christ is the light of the world. We didn't read the entire chapter, but if you go down to verse 38, you'll find him confess. And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. He worshiped Christ. Christ's mission was not just for temporal relief from physical ailments. By the way, why did Jesus come? We're supposed to emulate. We're supposed to follow in Christ's steps, are we not? Well, why did he come? Well, he tells us, Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He came to the lost sheep of Israel, Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, Matthew 15, verse 24. He came to die for the ungodly in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. He came to save sinners in 1 Timothy 1:15. He came to seek that one lost sheep out of 100. In the parable in Luke 15, Christ's mission was clear. He came to rescue us, to redeem us, to cleanse us from our sins. And he ultimately did that with his death on the cross, his sacrifice, his blood, his burial, his resurrection. But do you realize he's commissioned us to carry on the great work of reaching the lost? It's a call to every individual believer and every congregation of believers. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He told the first church in Jerusalem, there in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, that they would be witnesses. And I love the little outline there. He says, "You're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem." That's their local neighborhood. "To Judea," that's the region around them. "To Samaria," that's the region next door. "To the uttermost part of the world," that's spin the globe, smack your finger down, that's where. Anywhere man draws breath, we're called to try to reach them with the gospel. I think we can apply that to ourselves. Think about what are we reaching our Jerusalem? Well, that would be our Decatur, I think even our Wise County. Are we reaching our local area, the North Texas area, the DFW Metroplex? You want to talk about a mission field? The DFW Metroplex is a mission field. People from all over the world are moving in here. It's crazy. We know the growth. We complain about the growth around here. We know what it's seen, what it's done in places like Plano and Dad will talk about, when he was playing football, he played football against some of these places now that are 5 and 6A schools, multiple 6A schools in these. I mean, just huge, the growth. We've seen that before. You know what's sad is, we used to have literally a church on every corner. We had good churches all over. Have we kept up with it? No. We haven't kept up with that growth. It's gotten away from us. We got a mission field just right outside our door. Are we reaching our surrounding areas? I wanted to put Oklahoma on there, but it's bigger than that. But it's America. Are we reaching the places around us? Are we reaching the uttermost parts of the world? That's where foreign missions comes in. By the way, we're not told to just pick one. Like, okay, here's your options. It's like a buffet here. You pick what you want. Or maybe you're just, hey, choose two of these. If you do two or three of these, I believe that if we're able to, we should do our part to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. We ought to be hitting all those areas, locally, regionally, nationally, internationally. You know, we can all personally hand someone a tract. I got tracts out there on the table. You can invite somebody to church. You can hand them an invitation. You can just call them up. You can put on Facebook, hey, come hear this crazy guy we got pastoring, you know. I love my church. We can, there's so many ways we can just be a personal witness. We can share the love of Christ. We can get somebody, draw them into the light. I think every Christian should be able to share a simple gospel presentation. It's not just for preachers. By the way, if you say, well, I don't really know how to do it, get one of our church tracts. It's got the, you know, walk you right through it there on the back of it in the book of Romans. We should all be involved in the work of Christ, local and beyond. You know, some can go. I don't think everybody's called to be a missionary overseas, or not everybody's called to go start a church. But, you know, everyone, thought about this. I alliterated this. I'm proud of this. Everyone can pray. By the way, that's the most powerful thing you can do is pray. Everyone can pay. We can all give to help go, because it takes money to get this done. The third thing, though, we can also promote it. We can keep this. We can build the fire. We can stoke the flames of missions. The great need compels us to do our part. Our great love for our great Savior should compel us to do our part. But this morning, my challenge to you is that our limited time to labor should compel us to do our part. There in verse number 4 of our text, Christ says, "The night cometh when no man can work." You know, we're very spoiled nowadays. Some of you can think back to times where it was dark, you went home. Not too long ago, when the sun went down, work stopped because you couldn't see. By the way, what happened at night was usually considered untrustworthy or sinister because it was in the dark. The old farmers, I like the old saying, they said they worked from can till can't, till they could see, till they couldn't see anymore. Sun up, sun down. You know, back in my hay hauling days, way back when, the good old days, I tell you though, we actually learned it was actually better to work at night. Especially when it's like right now, it's 100 degrees, it's a little bit cooler in the middle of the night. So we'd go out there, but how could we do it? It's because we had the headlights on the truck. Have those little lights on your cap sometimes. We had some guys that would wear those. Or you'd have a flashlight. We'd spotlight. We'd get in a barn. Somebody have like a spotlight deal, shine up at the roof and shine off in there. You realize most of the history of this world, people couldn't do that. You couldn't go out there and try to harvest grain holding your little oil lamp. It didn't work. This is such a modern thing that we have. And when night came, you just had to call it quits. It's time to go home. You could not see. It's time to go home. You cannot work anymore. So you worked as hard as you could and for as long as you could. Friends, this world cannot continue on with its current pace and direction. Turn on the news. Check out the headlines on your phone. It won't take you long to see it's getting dark out there. If there isn't an actual real political scandal, someone's going to lie and make one up, okay? There's going to be a political scandal all the time. Wars raging, senseless. No one will sit down and just put an end to it. They're trying. They don't want to stop. Earthquakes. Well, we've had some bad earthquakes. The other night, I was sitting there watching the Rangers. I might have to give that up. It's depressing. But the other night, I was up watching, and I saw that there was that big earthquake a few weeks ago. There's a big earthquake up by Russia, and they said there was a tsunami coming to Hawaii. And I'm like, I want to watch it. And so I stayed up. and turned on the Fox weather thing, and it turned it on the TV, and they're like, oh, it's coming, it's coming. It never came. I wanted to see a tsunami. But these earthquakes happening everywhere, the storms, that's a big old hurricane that's out there in the Atlantic. It's not supposed to really do anything, but I mean, it's a big storm. Just think about what we saw down here in South Texas a little while ago, the weather, wildfires always on there. I mean, just, there's not a place on this planet that does not seem to have some sort of deadly weather affecting it. There's civil unrest here in America. There's civil unrest in Europe, civil unrest all over this world. Unthinkable, unspeakable crimes are committed daily. I think we're desensitized to it, just the level of violence and depravity that is in this world today. Just about the time you think you've heard the worst, the next day there's something even worse that's come along. Some of the use, or I would say misuse, of rapidly developing technology, it ought to scare us. And I love technology. I'm a geek. Y'all know me. I am a geek. I love technology. AI, it's intriguing, but boy, these people are getting sucked in. It's replacing real life. It's replacing relationships. People are having to go into rehab from working with AI too much, getting too close to it. The exploitation of children online is appalling. Sexually being groomed, and I'm going to tell you even too, I'll say the consumer, these businesses, these companies exploiting little kids for profits is awful. Pornography, vulgarity, it just seems to exponentially increase. It's like it was always there, but it's like you just can't escape it anymore. Would be easy to lose hope, wouldn't it? It'd be easy to, you know, I used to make fun of those doomsday prepper people. So part of me now is like, you know what? I kind of wish I had a bunker. I kind of wish I could just crawl in there with my 5-gallon bucket of pancake mix and just lock the door behind me for a little while and just be done with this world. You ever feel like that? You just want to crawl in the hole and just fill it in behind yourself and just be done with what's going on. Do you know, though, that we as Christians, I think we ought to be looking at these signs a little differently. You know, things are getting set up. God's in control. Me and Brother Ryan were talking about that. You know, God is ultimately in control. Even though we have free will, God lets us choose. God is ultimately in control. What He wants to happen is going to happen. He knows what's going to happen. Everything is building up. Go read, listen, folks, Book of Revelation is more real today than it has ever been. Matthew 24, I think it's talking about tribulation time, but still, you read that, it makes more sense today than it has ever made sense. Things are getting in place. The board is being set for the return of Christ. Things are not getting better. I wish they were. I wish, and like I said, well, there's hope. Yes, there is some good things. There's still some light in this old world. I understand that. Things are not getting better out there. Be honest, I think what humanity needs is divine intervention. Needs the gospel. It's getting dark out there, which, by the way, what does that mean? It means the world needs our light even more. It's getting dark out there, which means time is growing short. It's not time to hunker down, hold the ground that we have. I like to think about sports especially. Football, it's a 2-minute warning. You get to take a break. Like, we're almost done, let's take a break. Basketball, it takes 30 minutes to play the last minute of a basketball game. Timeout, foul. I think of hockey, okay? And if you never watch hockey, I love hockey. They just fight, it's great. But in hockey, at the end of each period, they play 3 20-minute periods in NHL. At the end of it, you'll hear the announcer. The old Stars announcer, he's like, 1 minute remaining in the first period. That's the way he'd say it. And you know what happens when they come on to say that? You know what those players do? They kick it up another gear. Things get a little bit more hectic. They hit a little harder. They shoot a little faster. I mean, they really kick it up a gear. Let me tell you something. Now is the time. Time is running short. It's the time to press forward. It's the time to increase our zeal for serving our Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to do more, to give more, to pray more, and to sin more. I do not know how long I have on this earth. None of us do. It could be hours. God could call me home. I might try to watch the Rangers and die of a heart attack. I don't know. Something may happen to me. Driving out there on 380 is getting scarier all the time. You know, I talking to some of y'all, you're a lot further down the road than I am, and some of y'all tell me, "Boy, I'm surprised I made it this far." You know, we don't know when we may pass through that doorway of death. And by the way, I don't fear death. No Christian should fear death. It's just the doorway we step from this life to the next, and it's so far better. Step off on heaven's shore. But we also don't know when there's going to be a shout and a trumpet blast and Christ calls his children home. All the evidence we have, the prophecies of scriptures, and I'd say the headlines of the present day, makes me think Christ's coming, it ought to be very near. I don't know how much worse it can get. What will we do with the time that we have? What will we do with the time that we have? I'm going to close this morning. I titled this sermon, So Little Time, and that's the theme I want to run with for our missions month, is So Little Time. And that title, it's a title of a song, and it's not a very well-known song. It's not in our hymn books. It was in my hymn book we used growing up, the old soul-stirring songs and hymns from Sword of the Lord. And there's many wonderful songs out there that'll lift your heart. I love good old gospel singing. I like the songs that make you happy and talk about heaven and encourage you. This is not one of them. There's some good mission songs that make you, boy, let's go. Let's, you know, onward, Christian soldiers. You know, you boys like, yeah, let's go. Let's do something for God. This song is, to me, though, it's a challenge. It's a convict. It convicts me every time I hear it. It's written by John R. Rice, the old Baptist evangelist, and also graduate of the old college up here way back when. So local ties. His parents are actually buried out there by me in Oak Lawn Cemetery. But some local ties. John R. Rice, more known for the Sword of the Lord and the evangelistic work that he did. He also dabbled in some songwriting, and I've dabbled in songwriting. Songwriting is hard. He's not the best songwriter in the world, but this one I find extremely convicting. I think he nailed, this is my favorite of all the songs he wrote, and he wrote a number. This to me is my favorite. And like I say, it is for the conviction that it brings to my heart to remind us that we don't have a lot of time. There's great work to do. I'm gonna read three of the verses to you. So little time. The harvest will be over, our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile and he'll say, well done. A day of pleasure or a feast of friendship, a house or car or garments fair or fame, will all be trash when souls are brought to heaven, and then how sad to face the slacker's blame. The harvest white with reapers few is wasting, and many souls will die and never know. The love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven, oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. The chorus, today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. So musicians come. I ask first, each of us as individuals, are we doing all that we can for the advancement of the gospel? And I think if we were honest with ourselves, we'd say, no, there's so much more we could do. are we really doing enough? Have we invited everybody we can to church? Have we shared the gospel with our family, with friends, with coworkers? I think we all have people that we need to go and apologize to and say, I should have done this years ago. Second, are we as a church doing all we can for the advancement of the gospel? Listen, I am so thankful. I love our church. I love our missions emphasis and our missions heart and our missions program. I love it. And we look up there, I don't want us to say, hey, we support 40 missionaries. We gave away a bunch of money. You know, church our size, we're doing pretty good. Yes, amen. God has truly blessed us. God's using us. But it ought to just whet our appetite. Can we do a little bit more? Who else can we reach? What other missionary can we get in? What other work can we help? What can we do? And last, have you received the gospel? As we're sitting here talking about having so little time to get the gospel to the lost, I got a few new faces in here. I trust you probably grew up in church, probably heard it all your life, but do you know Christ? Do you know Him? Before it's too late, we don't know how long we have. We need to accept His free gift of salvation. Do not put it off. We don't know how much time we have. See, musicians, what number? 285 there in the Baptist hymnal. If you want to sing along with the invitation song, if you'll stand. We'll have just a short time of invitation this morning. So little time we have to labor. So little time. What are we going to do with the time we have? I say let's press forward. Let's put the pedal to the metal. Let's just keep moving forward, advancing the cause of the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this wonderful church. I thank you, Lord, you have brought together a bunch of people, so many. They know. They know what it is to support missions. They know the great needs. You have broken their hearts. We have some tremendous givers, some tremendous prayer warriors. Lord, I pray, though, you continue to challenge us, press us forward to do even more. The time is growing short. There's so much going on in this old world. Let us not lose hope. Let's keep our eyes on you. Let's keep our eyes heavenward, but let's not lose sight of the great harvest that is before us, that we need to reach as many folks as we can while we can. Challenge our hearts. And Lord, I pray through this missions month, just challenge us and keep us aligned true to the great need and the great cause and the great power of the gospel. Speak to us in this invitation time, I pray in thy holy name. Amen.